Well, Ken's downstairs making a couple copies for class, and since I give him my only question sheet that I had, I'll just talk a little bit about the answers. So anyway, we were in chapter 19 in Joshua, and we're talking about the different lots that were cast and who got the lot for the land in the promised land and where they were located. And I was talking about the blessings that Jacob gave his sons, and see if they kind of reflected on the land or something about them taking over or living there, or something would happen in the future to the different tribes in different places. And we saw that there were some things that, you know, we could tie right to that tribe. Something would happen there. And so I think I missed a question or two down there. Last week my wife pointed out that the question number 7 that I had not really gotten into that one. So lot number 4, that was Issachar. And as we were saying in the past, that just about every one of us has a Bible that has the distribution of the land among the 12 tribes when they were divided up by Joshua when they went in there and took over the land. And so a lot of us can look in our Bibles and see different areas divided up. And I had a couple different Bibles, and they had a little bit of difference in the areas that some of the tribes got. And so anyway, Issachar, we see that that is located on the west side of the Jordan River, kind of nestled up there toward the Sea of Galilee. And it's just underneath Naphtali. And the thing that I wanted to talk about it was that if you turn over to Genesis 49 and around verse 14, it says, Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between two burdens. He saw that rest was good and that the land was pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden and became a band of slaves. Now, a lot of different commentators have a lot of different things to say, and some of them won't even say much about some of the other blessings. But this one here had some things that I found on it. And then I got to thinking about the donkey. And it says he was a strong donkey. And there was another translation I looked at that said raw-boned. And so anyway, I got to thinking about what was a donkey to a person back then. And can you guys think of different things in the Bible that had a donkey in the narration of the whatever it was? Anybody have any things that they remember about a donkey in past studies or? Yeah.
Was Paula. Mary on a donkey with Joseph?
Yeah, she might have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
She had to ride something because she was with child. Anybody else?
Jesus rode on a donkey.
Okay, he was on donkey's colt when he had the come into town, and then what was it, last week, before he was crucified. Triumphal entry is what it's called, usually. And anything else?
Yeah, the donkey was the prophet that was trying to give curses.
Okay, that was Balaam.
Balaam.
Riding the donkey, and the donkey Yeah, donkey saved his life. That was the first. I always thought that was how they got Mr. Ed. Because they had that donkey talking donkey, and so Mr. Ed come from that. You know? And, there's donkeys been mentioned in other places, too. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. Now, one thing about donkeys, they live a pretty good long life. And just recently, I was interested in donkeys, even before I read this. And I found out they use them for the equivalent of a watchdog with herds of animals.
Female donkeys, they do.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if they were female or male.
Too busy.
So anyway, if they're with a bunch of sheep or a bunch of cows or something, the donkey is the kind of the lookout for the group. And he will even attack predators when they come in to do harm to the herd. And plus they're pretty noisy, so they'll give the alarm to the farmer or the shepherd or whatever. And so they're pretty a pretty good animal to have to guard your, you know, rest of your herd and stuff. And they live a lot longer than a dog does, because a dog can do the same thing. They're about 3 times the lifespan of a dog, and they eat whatever the cows or the sheep eat, so they don't have to get any special food for them. And they're strong, and they're kind of they got courage, you know. Not that they'll overtake a lion or something, but if you have a few of them there, you can drive off some of the predators, or they'll attack them. So I thought it was just an interesting thing, a side note about the donkeys. Let's see. Okay. Next, I'm going to go down to, it was going to be question 9, that was lot number 6. That was Naphtali. And they're up on the northern part of the map. Here comes Ken. I think he got some questions here. If you don't have a sheet, Ken will give you a sheet. Yeah, might need to get a couple more. So anyway, Naphtali. Okay, let's go over here to Genesis 49, verse 21. See what it says. Naphtali is a deer let loose. He uses beautiful words. And it's just 2 lines of information there. Did you have an extra one?
Another one? I just gave all 3 away.
Oh, you gave away my sheet too.
You want them back?
Well, if you can make just a couple more. I don't have one. I think that was it. Yeah.
How many do you want?
There's 2, 3, at least 3.
3?
Yeah. 4. Make 4. Okay, Naphtali, there was just 2 lines of there written about it, and some of the commentators I looked at, they didn't have anything much to say about it, and I'm just kind of scratching my head. Any of you have an idea what that might mean? Got any speculation, or? If you let an animal loose, what usually happens? The wild animal. They usually just take off like a streak. You know, I've caught rabbits and stuff, you know, when I was a kid, and you let one of them go, and man, they're just going like a flash. I got to looking at the area that they were in, and they were up to the northern part of the Promised Land, and up above them was territory of another kingdom. I think the, Amorines were up that direction. Now, I got that from the next map, which was where David and Solomon's, their the extent of the territory that David and Solomon had. So, and then to the right, on right against the river, I don't know exactly what country would be there, but they were up there by themselves. They were kind of in the hill country. And one guy says they were free spirits. They were kind of an isolated group up in there. So maybe they dealt with wild animals more or something. Maybe that was deer country or something. So, okay, anybody got anything more to add to that or any questions or anything? Okay. So we'll go down here to the question 10 was the last lot that Joshua and the priest and they had divvied up, and that was going to be for Dan. Now, Dan is located down on the coast, and looks like Joppa is one of the towns in Dan. It was kind of like an elbow-shaped piece of territory. Now, there was a lot. Well, there was a little bit more information if you look to Genesis 49, where the blessing from Jacob was giving to his sons, and starting at verse 6, let's see, yeah, verse 16, it says, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path that bites the horse's heels, so that its rider shall fall backward. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. Okay, so I was kind of scratching my head on that. How about you? You had any thoughts on that? So, if you're dealing with a serpent, I was just thinking, if they're poisonous and they strike for you, in fact, lots of snakes that aren't poisonous will strike at you. In my time I've been out in the hills and woods and stuff, I'll run across just a snake that's not harmful by its bite, but it'll still strike at you. So it bites the horse's heels and its rider falls backwards. So that's, you get the idea of kind of a person that's will strike without warning. And I think we're going to see that that's what this tribe of Dan did. Thank you, Ken. Okay.
Well, if you strike at the heel, it's behind. So whoever's doing the striking is behind. Dan is behind him. So.
Yeah, he's striking from the rear where you're not expecting it. I can remember going on a hike over by up above Winthrop, and we went in this canyon, Stovepipe Canyon, and we were down there hiking along, and we were warned that there's a lot of rattlesnakes in there, and so I was really watching. Sure enough, I heard one there in the beside the trail. He was all curled up under the bushes, and so I gave him a wide berth, of course. But that's the nice thing when they let you know they're there, so then you can be aware. So anyway, if you take and read, let's see, where did I write that down? Okay, Joshua, flip back here to Joshua 19 and verse 47. It says that in the border of the children of Dan went beyond these, because the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem and took it, and they struck it with the edge of the sword, took possession of it and dwelt in it. And they called Leshem Dan, after the name of Dan, their father. Now, there's a whole chapter in Judges that's written about this, telling about what they did up there. And they went in and attacked a group of peaceful people up there and just wiped them out, killed them all, took over their land. They had sent 5 spies up there. And there was a lot of other things that happened in there. But if you're really interested in finding out what happened, you can read that chapter 18. So that town had a couple different names. And another name I found was Laish, L-A-I-S-H. So there's a couple different names for that town, which they changed to Dan. And then if you look on your little map here in your Bible, you can see that place where Dan is way up far north from the territory that Dan had. And from what I read, looks like Dan couldn't really take over the property or the territory that he was supposed to have down there. And for some reason, he went up to that town and took it over. So they were like a bloodthirsty group. They were like snakes, and they snuck in and attacked those people. And they weren't expecting to be attacked, evidently. So anybody have anything to add? I'm doing all the talking here. Anybody have anything to, any questions or anything? Okay, so that was the last lot for the tribes. Now we're going to talk about Joshua. So now I got the questions. What inheritance was given Joshua? So, Karen.
The city that they called Timnath-serah, it was a city he asked for in the mountains.
Okay, anything else? That was the hill country of Ephraim. Now, this was the promised land and land of milk and honey, but Joshua being the servant of God, the last one to get his land, and that's what he asked for. It must have been a really nice place. So I was thinking, up in the hill country would be cool. And if you see pictures of, around Jerusalem and stuff, it looks like it's kind of a hot, dry area. I guess there's a lot of areas around the streams and stuff that's really nice. And so anyway, that was the idea I got from that. Now, Joshua was the last one to get his, but Caleb was the first. Joshua and Caleb were like partners when they went in to spy out the land. And they were the ones that gave the good report. And they were the ones that stood up and tried to calm the people down when they got all excited and stuff. And, we can't take this land. We're like grasshoppers. But they said, with God's help, we can do it. So they get their reward. And one of them got the first, and one got the last. And that's kind of like a leader, a real good leader. He makes sure everybody else has their portion, and then he takes his at the end. So I think he was God picked him out to be the leader, and he proved himself to be a real good leader, following God. And remember that statement he said about, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. And so, kudos to him. Now, I'm hoping we have some questions and stuff about this, the cities of refuge. Now, explain the cities of refuge. This is number 12, and this comes from chapter 20. Explain the purpose of the cities of refuge and list other passages about them. So anybody? Karen?
you accidentally killed anybody, in other words, you didn't have any malice aforethought in killing someone, then you could go to these cities and have refuge. They couldn't come and get you if you were in these cities. And there were six of them.
Yep.
I think it's interesting to read it, actually. Verse 20, 1 through, well, that's 1 through 6.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'll just tell you what I see here. The Lord said to Joshua, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint one of your cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. The slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood," which tells you right away that there's somebody out there that's got a right to chase you, and that's called an avenger of blood. And when he does flee unto one of those cities, stand at the entrance. That's something I didn't really understand. I thought, well, you just go over there and you run in the door and everything's good. But no, it says stand at the entrance of the gate of the city, and declare his cause in the ears of the elder of that city. Now, in other words, he's like standing on a prejudgment or something like that. He's got to make it known, apparently. And then they say, and they shall take him into the city, or take in him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell there. So they said, well, they may take him in, and they may not take him in, I suspect. I'm not confident on that particular thing. They have to think about that, right? And then the avenger of blood, and if the avenger of blood comes after him, they won't give him up. They won't. It says they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and didn't hate him before. Two conditions now. That's rather fascinating. Just read right in that little section there, you know. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment. Now here comes another thing. Holy mackerel. And until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days, then shall a slayer return and come to his own city and into his own house from whence he fled. Apparently, if he lasts long enough, he might get to come home.
And they were linked to certain tribes as well. According to Deuteronomy 4:41, they only talk about three of the tribes and three of the cities there, but there were six of them actually. So Deuteronomy 4:41 talks about Ramoth and Golan and Bezer, I think.
Okay. Got a lot of information here. What I think I'll do is turn over to Numbers
35:6.
Yeah, 35, and read a little bit of it. And because there's a lot of information here on this cities of refuge. And if you look back and you think, what if one of my relatives was killed and I was the avenger of blood, you know, next in line, and I'd have to go out and chase this guy down, and he's running for, you know, running for the safe house or whatever, the safe city. Then you think about at the city gates, they must have had an elder there, must have been there almost all day long. There's an elder there or something, because they could come in at any time of the day. And each one of these cities were run by the Levites, and so they were the guys that knew the law, and they could make decisions. And he would get a prelim, you know. I don't know all the terms, but where you go in and state your case first, then they take you in, and then they probably get more evidence. The Avenger of Blood will come in and have his say about it, and then they'll have to get all the evidence and stuff. And I think they had to send the guy back to the original city, from what I read, and the commentators say they would take him back safely back, and they would have their trial back at the city he'd come from. And then if, he was guilty, he would be done in by the executioner, was the next of kin, the Avenger of Blood. But anyway, I'll do a little reading here from Numbers 35. And let's see, where do I want to start here? Okay, we'll start right here at 9. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, When you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. They shall be in cities of they shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger. That is, the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall have 6 cities of refuge. You shall appoint 3 cities on this side of the Jordan, and 3 cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be cities of refuge. Of these 6 cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there." So it's not only for the citizens of the area, but for people that are traveling through. But if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall be surely put to death. And if he strikes him with a stone in the hand by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. The Avenger of Blood himself shall put the murderer to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. And if he pushes him out of hatred, or while lying in wait, hurls something at him so that he dies, or in an enemy enmity, he strikes him with his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. The Avenger of Blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. However, if he pushes him suddenly without enmity, or throws anything at him without lying in wait, or uses a stone by which a man could die, throwing it at him without seeing him, so that he dies while he is not his enemy or seeking his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the Avenger of Blood according to these judgments. Now, I'm going to read even more here. But it really goes into detail so that everything is set up. We're having the laws that is governing the children of Israel there in the land of Canaan, the promised land. And as we look at this and think about it, this is how all law nowadays stems from this. This is God's law for people. And so this is where it all comes from. The laws we have nowadays comes from this. Anybody have anything they want to say? Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I wonder if he has to leave his family. Let's say if it happens, if he goes to one of these cities, does his family come with him, or do they just come and visit him once in a while, or,
Well, I haven't seen that part yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who's going to support the family and all these things?
Well,
it's kind of complicated.
Yeah. I just wondered how many accidents were there back then. I mean, they didn't have, OSHA or anything to make sure your tools were all built properly without the heads flying loose right and left, you know. So, you know, well, they had a lot of dangerous stuff they used, and they, you know, they were chucking spears here and there and shooting arrows and stuff, and somebody's bound to get hurt. So
it might be a good reason not to hate anybody.
Yeah.
Because if you accidentally killed them while you hated them, you might be in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking there was a guy that was in the City of Refuge. Were you going to say that,
well,
Paula?
I was going to say I remember, but I don't know who it was, but he forgot.
Yeah.
He left.
Went out to get his manservant that had run off or something. He went out.
Solomon told him he had to stay there.
Yeah.
And if he left, he would die.
Yeah, right.
So there's a lot of questions that are answered there. If you're the manslayer, are you going to have to hang around outside the city just waiting for him to come out? You know, just sitting around. Hey, if he comes out here, I'm going to get him. I mean, and you're in there till the high priest dies. So, you know, that's a lifetime. You know, a guy can be around for quite a while. Some of those guys live to over 100 years old or so. So you'd be out there, old gray guy out there just waiting with these sword, and it's all rusted up and everything. So anyhow, there's not every question is answered, but, you know, we can speculate. Yeah.
Well, that's why the point when you mentioned OSHA, you know, I think the most of the accidental situations would be in a construction site where people are just busy and you got scaffolding or something, and something falls on the guy, and you know, like I didn't mean it, just fell off, you know, off of his hand and just dropped and hit the other guy in the head. That would be one incident that could possibly happen. If he's tossing debris over to clear the area, and then he hits a guy that's walking by or something. So it's a lot of those situations. Mostly, he sounds to me like in construction sites.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be. Well, we do see that one place there. It's in Deuteronomy 19. It's where the guys are going out to the woods to cut timber, you know, and cutting down trees. Bad things can happen there. And that's the example they give there in Deuteronomy. That's the other place where Numbers 35 and Deuteronomy 19 was two of the places that I had listed as where this law was written there. Yes?
There's one of the things that I think is interesting, but there's still a consequence. You know, I mean, this is almost like a halfway house type of scenario. And it's, how do I say, be careful. You know, be careful, be aware of what's going on. And you know, and if you kill somebody, you know, you've taken something, they've lost their family. It looks like, you know, they have to go live in this city, you know, and they're removed from their friends and their family. You know, there's still quite a consequence for it, even though they did not intentionally kill somebody.
Yeah. I can remember back years ago, I was stationed overseas, and they told us there, if you ever ran over anybody, make sure they're dead, because you're better off if they're dead than if they were just hurt. But I don't know how true that was. Vern.
But she's absolutely right. It was very, very precious to God, blood being shed by someone else. Refer back to Cain and Abel and on up. And Judas, when he went out and hung himself, that property was used for nothing except the graveyard. And so God is very much concerned about spilling blood. Need to be very careful for even today that we don't, you know, murder is
try to make it minified, you know, make it first not worthy. You know, it's all right. You know, but God takes it very serious. And even an accident is very serious. And so we need to be aware of that and act accordingly. And some people have no qualms about killing someone. But it is. But then there was exceptions to that. War was an exception. And that's sort of, I guess, it's justified. I don't know. To me, it's very difficult to understand that. But, so war and some of the things. But capital punishment is something that God gave to government, all government. And that's something they have a right to do. You go back in the Bible, you find that they have a right to do that. And so, you know, there's exceptions to this situation. But as individuals, we cannot spell somebody else's blood.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other part is that it was legal for, if it was an actual murder, intentional murder, the avenger had the right to murder him, you know.
Well, it wasn't murder. If you had
your I think it says in it's an eye for an eye.
Yeah, that was stated. Yeah.
But he was legal for him to kill him instead of being judged by a jury and being hung or whatever. That they were allowed to kill him and not be guilty of it.
Yeah, I just read something about that earlier here before I came in here tonight. See if I can find it. Well, this says if the avenger finds, this is verse 27 of 35, number 35. And the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of the city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer. He shall not be guilty of blood. So the manslayer is not guilty of blood if he catches him before he gets into the city. He's not going to be guilty if he catches him when he sneaks out and he gets him. So if you're the, you know, avenger of blood, you're not guilty. Okay, anything else on this?
Well, Larry, I think we got two different categories here. When we talk about the person who accidentally kills somebody, in one like Ben's example, if you build a scaffold and your buddy gets up on it and it collapses and he dies from that collapse, is that the same as if somebody is having an argument with somebody and he pushes a guy and he falls over and hits his head and kills himself because of what you did to him, but you didn't have hatred for him.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's an accident too. I think they're two different kinds of accidents, two different things. If a guy builds a scaffolding and somebody gets up on it and falls off the top of it and kills himself, it's not the same as if you're angry at somebody and you don't mean to hurt the person, but you just push him or shove him, and he falls and kills himself on falling into a rock or something. I think that's different.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're covering both of those in the same category here.
I don't think so. Because where we read it, it says there's enmity, and that means, like in verse 21, or in enmity, he strikes him with his hand so that he dies. That's different than if they were just kind of got in an argument in the heat of the moment. You know, and that's the reason why they have the city of refuge. So he can take off and get there and then get to come back to his own place and state his case before the elders and stuff, the Levites there, the guys that know the law, and then they decide the case. And when I see that word enmity, that means that you you weren't planning to kill somebody. You just happened to, something happened by accident or something. And so there's two different things. You know, like today we have murder, we have manslaughter, you know, first degree, second degree, you know. We got all kinds of things for in our law nowadays because, you know, just they have all kinds of different laws, more than I know about. Yes?
In that other case, is that with the scaffolding, who owned the scaffolding? Who put them together? Now we have to investigate who did that? Who made the mistake of not clamping them properly so they were nice and sturdy? And who do you charge for that? I
mean, yeah.
Manufacturer.
Made in China. It just wasn't very good quality stuff. Okay. Anybody got any more on City of Refuge and accidental and unintentional and all that stuff? Okay. Let's go on to the next question here. 13. Name the cities of refuge that were appointed. Okay, Karen.
Kadesh, Hebron, Ramoth, Shechem, Bezer, and Golan.
Hey, very good. Now, there are three on the west side of the Jordan River and three on the east side. And if you look on your maps here, they got them spaced out pretty good. So if you're up in the north country, you want to go to Kadesh or Golan. And if we're way down south, you want to go to Hebron or Bezer. So, and another thing I read back there that when they were talking to, God was talking to Moses, he was saying, you got to make some good roads so that they can get to these cities of refuge in a hurry. And that was, I think that was back in Deuteronomy 19. I didn't read from there, but I think back in that area, there was something about making roads so that people can get to these cities of refuge. So, I don't know, I get the idea that it was kind of a common occurrence, things like that happening back then with people building stuff and cutting trees down and doing all kinds of activities outside. So, it was an important part of their system there to keep everything orderly, decent and in order, you know, not a bunch of havoc going on. Okay, so I think we can call that good for the 20th chapter, and we'll start in on the 21st chapter here. Okay, now, this is where the next group of people get their stuff. We've had all the lots taken care of, all the lots cast and divvied up between all the tribes except for the last one here. So, who next requested to receive their possession in the land? And what were they given? Where had Moses spoken about this? Paula?
The Levites came to put their claim for cities of habitation since they had no share in the division of land. And they were given 48 cities of refuge. And that was in Numbers 35:2.
Okay. Now, the Levites, they got their towns and their pasture lands. Because you got to have lands for your livestock to feed from. And let's see, if we go back to Genesis 49 again to read about the blessings that Jacob gave his sons. Okay. All right, so that would be Genesis 49, starting at verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council, let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Hey, it's the guys that's going to decide all the questions about the law here. Man, do they sound like they're individuals that are, you know, peace-loving and want to do good?
Larry?
Yes?
In Numbers 35, 1 through 8, we have that the Lord directed this to Moses. Moses instructions.
Okay.
Numbers 35, 1 through 8. I don't have it before me, but what I wrote down.
Okay, yeah, it says here, the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give the Levite cities to dwell in from the inheritance of their possession, and you shall also give the Levites common land around the cities, so their pasture land. They shall have the cities to dwell in, and their common land shall be for their cattle, for their herds, and for all their animals. The common land of the cities which you will give the Levites shall extend from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits all around. And you shall measure outside the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. The city shall be in the middle. This shall belong to them as a common land for their cities. Okay.
That's a fascinating thing. I never really thought about why were the Levites left out of the possession of the land. And he says what their possessions will be right there. And that it came from the Lord himself is an interesting aspect of that. What Moses took down, he spoke for the Lord, what prophet. Right?
Yeah. Now, they took care of the temple. They did all the priestly duties. And they took care of the cities of refuge. And they probably did the judging of the different things that were brought before them, of people murdering people or accidentally killing somebody. And other things, too. There was other disagreements they would have also.
And they had the responsibility for all of the temple.
Yeah, taking care of it.
Doesn't it say in there, in 1 through 8, something about they would do all the sacrifices?
Yeah, they'd have to. Possession. Yeah, you have to clean all the animals up and clean all the utensils and everything. Vern, do you have something to add?
Well, the Levites, of course, Levi, that first part of the Jacob gave his speech before he died, of this telling about different ones. The first part of that, of course, tells what they did. Simon and Levi went up and avenged their sister,
right,
Shechem, and they killed the people and they hamstrung the animals. And so that's exactly what it says to happen. And then the other part, I think, the reason why they were scattered among the people is for a council, if you would, so that the priests would be and the Levites would be in the whole land, so it wouldn't be just one place where those that took care of the worship of God would be just one place. They scattered throughout the whole thing. And see, even when Judah and Israel separated, they would, Benjamin and Judah, but then also the Levites in that land, and the high priest was in that land, in Judah. And so I think God is making it so they are scattered throughout the whole country.
Yeah, yeah, that that blessing down there in the last couple of lines was, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So that was one thing I wanted to point out, but I got sidetracked. But you got it. Okay, let's go ahead and stop there, and we'll go ahead and have our last song, and that'll be it for the evening then.